I have so many things to say that I almost don't know what to say. If you were to die right now, like right this second, where are you going? If God were to call you right now or tonight, because last night thousands of people died across the world, you are not one of those who died. If God were to kill you today, where are you going? We lie to each other and say every time that someone dies, they went to heaven. Who told you they went to heaven? Did God tell you that? How do you know that when you die, you are going to heaven? How? People will say a lot of good things about how good you were. That's not going to work with God. That's not going to work. It's not going to work. How do you know that you are going to go to heaven tonight? Because if you don't know that you are going to go to heaven in this minute, then you don't know Jesus. The matter of salvation is about you meeting with God. And do you understand what we're talking about? You and I only have one problem. You have never had more than one problem in your life. You only have one problem. It's not Zimbabwe. It's not the politics. It's not the money. It's not the load shedding. It's not the water issues. It's not marriage issues. You have a God problem. God is your enemy. You have to understand that. God alone is your enemy. Because he says, who shall deliver or who can deliver from my hands? God is saying, once he puts you in his hands, no one can get you out. Which means, if God puts you in hell, no one can get you out. So your problem is a God problem. If you don't solve the issue that you have with God, it is not well. I think it is better that you were not born. Even Jesus said that. It is better that you were not born. It is better that you were created as a mouse. It is better. Why? Because there's hell. Hell means you are suffering. There's no suffering in Zimbabwe compared to hell. Anybody who is in hell thinks Zimbabwe is the best place ever. Understand me? So this is where I'm going. This is not even my message. I have not yet started teaching. I'm trying to wake you up so that you understand what Jesus means, who Jesus is, what grace means, and what it does not mean. If you don't know the problem, you won't understand the solution. You won't appreciate the solution. People, so-called men and women of God, praying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Do you know Jesus? If Jesus would show up, will you know him? I'll tell you the truth. If Jesus shows up, 99.9% of the churches will be empty. The true Jesus, if he shows up, all these people will say they are praying an all-night prayer, foolishness. They don't know Jesus. Okay? So pray that God will speak to you and tell you the truth. We know each other this way. I have friends in here. I have relatives in here. But I'm just getting to understand that the reason why I know you was for this moment. That God would come and teach the truth about Christ. The sovereign grace, salvation. Sovereign grace, you have to learn to pronounce that. Because you're going to hear it until your ears start ringing. Sovereign grace is not a new church. It is not Roman Catholic. Sovereign grace, Pentecostal, no. Jesus only has one church. It's sovereign grace. You shall not be saved because of your church. There's not a single church that saves anyone. Understand me? Because there's no church that died for anyone. There's no pastor who died for anyone. So don't put confidence in your church. If your church is not telling the truth, leave your church. Leaving a false church is not leaving Jesus. Okay. So one of the reasons why people don't come to hear this message is because we don't tell them what they want to hear. We don't tell them, bring your money so that God will bless you. We don't collect money from anybody. We don't. We don't get paid. And yet we're still preaching. Yet we're still coming. Okay? So, this is one of the best times that God has given you in your whole life to come and hear this. May God help you with ears to hear. I'm gonna pray, but I'll introduce myself. That was just introduction. My name is Pastor James. Most of you know me. But not this way. When I'm here, it's a different game. We can play outside here, we can play. But when I'm back here, I'm representing the sovereign God. When I'm there, we can play. When I'm here, I should not be talking about my own mind. This is the most dangerous thing that I've ever done and will ever do. Preaching is the most dangerous thing. Why? Because I am coming and claiming that I know God. And that you believe what I'm telling you. And that if you believe what I'm telling you, it is well between you and God. That's dangerous. I am responsible now for everything that you are going to hear. God is going to require of me everything that I'm going to tell you. If I'm lying, I'm in trouble. When people are jumping around and say, amen, amen, I receive, it means there's no teaching. Okay? When people are jumping and shouting, it means they're not hearing from God. God is speaking, everybody gets quiet. Put the time. I'm going to encourage you to do this. I'm going to encourage you to attend all the messages. I have 8 messages to teach, not today, but over this weekend and next weekend. And everything is connected. You need to learn. You need to learn and know the truth. I may never come back to teach you. And God may never send you another person to teach you. Today is the day that God has made for you to hear the truth. The Lord has brought together with us today a brother and sister from Zambia. They are in here, Brother Christopher and his wife and children. There are a lot of churches in Zambia, but he had something different. And he said, "Brother, I want to come to Zimbabwe and hear you say some more things. The message that I heard you preach is the only message that has ever ministered hope to me. Am I right?" We have some other people who are coming from South Africa. We should have more people. We should have more people. But then, why do we have only a few people? Because God is not interested in everyone. Do you know I would speak this way if only 2 of you showed up? Ask Sister Memo, she knows. I'll preach every second of my message if just the 2 of you were here. Don't think it will change. If 2 people show up tomorrow, we are not canceling. We preach. Why? Because God is my audience. If God is listening, God is greater than all of Zimbabwe listening. So I'm preaching to God, and God will teach you what is teaching me. So, I'm in Ohio, Columbus, that's the capital city in the US of A. Been gone for almost 20 years now. But I've been coming back. And I pastor a church by the name of Berean Sovereign Grace. And the Lord has put on my heart to go and preach the gospel beyond the 4 walls of our small church. And one of the places that he has brought me back to is Zimbabwe. I was in England 2 months ago for a conference, with another conference in Ohio, just a few weeks ago. 10 years from now, we will be having 5,000 people in here, not in this venue. I'm not responsible for who comes. I'm responsible for my message. Those who don't come, that's their own problem, okay? So let us pray. We haven't even prayed. We haven't even prayed. Let's go before the Lord and ask for his blessing. Blessing upon our conference, blessing upon you, that you may be opened to the truth of Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we bless your name this afternoon, this morning, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for life. We thank you for this time that you've given us to go into your word, that we may learn about Christ and salvation. I thank you, Lord, for bringing me here safely. I pray for all the messages that you've given me, that they will be delivered to as many as were appointed to hear them. Lord, we pray and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our first message is going to be from the book of Corinthians, chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, this is learning. This is gospel class. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we work our understanding from verse 1 all the way to verse 31. Verse by verse, we will explain what God is saying. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, records for us and says, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Sorry, I started reading from verse 18, but we'll backtrack to verse 1 to develop the understanding. So please jump to verse 18 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'll read again. "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. For consider your calling," verse 26. "For consider your calling. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised. God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God." So that no man may boast before God. So that no man, no one should boast before God. But by his doing, verse 30, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that just as it is written, let him who boasts in the Lord. That's the word of the Lord. You see, if the preachers of the day would actually read the Bible, would have Christians. What do? They come in and say, the Holy Spirit told me. Then they begin to tell you stories. The Holy Spirit does not tell anybody anything that is not Jesus. Okay? The Holy Spirit, when he speaks, he talks about Christ. So our sermon title is Consider Your Calling. Consider Your Calling. So I've come to preach the gospel. I've come to declare God's way of salvation. Not your way of salvation. Not how your church thinks about salvation. And as we learn the gospel of God, you're going to learn and discover by the grace of God that what you believed as the gospel is not the gospel. And yet you have been going to church. If we should get Christ right, we should know that the gospel is not addressing your day-to-day needs. The gospel has nothing to do with you buying a house. The gospel has nothing to do with you having children. The gospel has nothing to do with you getting a husband or making money. The gospel is not about healing and deliverance ministry. The gospel is not about chasing demons. It is not about prophecy. Because if we had advertised this conference as healing and deliverance, we would not even know where to put people. They are not looking for Jesus. They are looking for how to use Jesus. Okay? We can't just go to church to hear stories. We can't go to church to get my blessing. What blessing is it that you are going to church to get? You can't go to church for no other reason than to know Christ and how God has arranged all things of eternity and your salvation in Him, if indeed you are in Him. If God will give you the truth today or this weekend or next week, you are quickly going to discover that there is no church to go to. If God would open the truth as it is in the Bible, we shall discover very quickly that there is no church to go to. That is telling the truth on Christ. Just because someone has the title pastor or bishop or priest does not mean they're telling the truth. Okay? Jesus says this in the book of Revelation. If a church is not telling the truth on him, it is not a church. It is the synagogue of Satan. It is the synagogue of the devil. So just because a building is open on Sunday does not mean that it is church. Too many lies have been told you about salvation. And a lie is a lie and will never be of the truth. And God will never accept lies about himself. God will never accept lies about his son, and God will never accept lies about you from you. God will never accept any lies. So God will never save you with a lie. God is not a politician. He does not lie. Politicians are in the business of lying. That's why they are politicians. They are born of the same mother. God does not lie. But we have to know the truth. We have to know the truth. And we have to repent to the truth. forget everything that you have done for Jesus up to this second. Forget all the money that you have given to Jesus, your tithing. You did not give it to Jesus, you gave it to the false prophet. You never gave any money to Jesus. Jesus does not need anyone's money. You gave it to the so-called man of God and his wife. I'm telling the truth. Forget your prayers. Forget everything that you have done. Forget your baptism. Forget everything that you have ever done in the hopes of making God happy. You can't make God happy. It's impossible for you to make God happy. You can't do it. There's only one person who makes God happy, and that is Christ. So for you to be accepted by God, you have to be in the one that God loves. God does not love you for you. God loves you because of Jesus. If you remove Jesus, you're going to hell. Only Jesus makes the difference. He alone, not you and Jesus, no, is Jesus alone. Not Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary, the mother of Jesus, needs Jesus. She needs help. Why? Because she was a sinner. Only Jesus was righteous. Christ Jesus was holy and innocent and undefiled. We don't worship Mary. We don't worship dead people. You worship God alone. Mary is not God. Mary does not speak for you to God. Because Mary cannot hear you. Only God can hear you. Jesus is God. Only Jesus can hear you. So when you are worshiping Mary and when you are doing your rosaries, you are not talking to God. Understand me? Throw those things away. Throw away the pictures. No one ever took a picture of Jesus. Throw away those pictures of Jesus. You don't need them. Take a picture of me. At least you know me. Nice picture, selfie, and put it on your phone. God will not accept anything that you do for Jesus. God will not accept anything, zero. No matter how good it is, God will not accept that for salvation. Why? Hear this from Matthew 7. Matthew 7, 21 to 23. The Lord will teach you. You hear it. I have to respect your time. You came and left other things that you could be doing. So I can't waste your time. We have to learn. Matthew 7, 21 to 23, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who says, 'Jesus, Jesus,' will enter." That's Jesus talking. That's not me. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. The one who does the will of the Father in heaven shall enter on that day. Are you doing the will of the Father? What is the will of the Father? What does it mean to do the will of the Father? The will of the Father is to believe in Christ. To do the will of God is not to feed poor people. You get me? You should feed poor people. God thinks that is right for you to do. But that's not salvation. The will of God is to believe in Christ. Not some things about Jesus. Everything about Jesus. Not, oh, we are SDAs, we are Seventh-day Adventists. We don't really think that Jesus was God. He was just some exalted angel. That's not doing the will of God. Here again from Jesus. Verse 22. I'm going to teach you to listen. Okay. I'm going to teach you to listen. You're going to try to sleep. You're going to wake up. You see, you can't see the Holy Spirit. Even if you're sleeping, he will come and wake you up. Many will say, verse 22, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Lord, did we not prophesy the elections in Zimbabwe? Isn't that what we've been hearing? Prophets talking about the elections. Prophets, even now, they're still talking. And people who don't know say, oh, the man of God, he's prophesying the elections. God is with him. Jesus says, no. Many will come, will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons, in your name perform many miracles? Did we not do these things for you, Jesus? We prophesied. We cast out demons. Isn't that what people are doing tomorrow? They are casting out demons and they are saying, hallelujah. Jesus is in this place. Jesus says, no. Hear what Jesus is going to say. Verse 23. Hear what Jesus is going to say. And then I'll declare to them, and then I'll say to them, depart from me. Depart from me. Those are the hardest words that have ever been written. I need you to hear that. Depart from me. I never knew you. You lawless ones, you workers of iniquity, depart from me. What are they doing? They want to enter. They want to go to heaven. You have buried them. You had a nice memorial of them. You put their nice big photo in the album. You sang for them and said, oh, my Maria. Jesus says, depart from me. I never knew you. So what does that mean? Where do you go when Jesus says, depart from me? It means go to hell. But these are Christians. They have ministries. They have all-night prayers. They've been doing the 40-day fast. Jesus says, depart from me. Depart from me. I will repeat that again. Those are the hardest words that have ever been written. For you to come before God. And God says, I never knew you. But Lord, we cast out demons in your name, in Jesus' name. Jesus says, no. Oh, we prophesy in your name. Jesus says, no. I don't know you. Jesus is God. He knows everything. So why say, I never knew you? The word knew means, I never loved you. I have never loved you. I never saved you. So going to church does not mean you know Jesus. You may think you know Jesus, but Jesus does not know you. Now, we have to have that gospel that tells you whether you know or you are known by Jesus or not. Because it can be known. It can be known whether you are saved or not because God has written it. But it's hard stuff. A lot of preachers can't preach it because they will be left with no one. So what do? They tell you about the false stuff. Come, bring your tithe, and God will bless you. Lies. We haven't studied the text that we read. We haven't even studied teaching from the text. If we should die in peace. This is why I came. And this is why Christ came. I came to declare to you the peace of God. If you should die in peace. If you should meet your maker in peace. God already has your day of death. To the second. God knows when you're going to die. And how you're going to die. To the very second. He knows. He is the one who appointed your days. Some of you may have 2 more weeks. Others 2 days. Some 20 years. But you're going. You're marching. Every single day, you're marching to meet with God. So what is the gospel that you're going to go with? You see, if we would talk about the gospel this way, we begin to talk about Jesus in a more fearful way, in a more respectable way, rather than just saying Jesus this, Jesus that, Jesus this, Jesus that. Don't play with Jesus. He's God. So the issue here is, you shall either die with a false gospel, which means a false Jesus, or the true gospel. The matter of the gospel is not a matter of education. You understand me? I did not go to Bible school. I did not take a single class. I'm a chemist. That's what I went to school for. God taught me. It's God who taught me. No one expected me to preach. No one. Only God knew. Only God knew. So now let's go to the text. And that was introduction. Let us go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul records and says, Paul, called as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Sothenes, our brother. Pay attention to the text. I'm teaching you how to read the Bible. You have to pay attention to what is written. Paul says he was an apostle. The sent one, not that one. Not this guy who is there. That's not the apostle. This apostle who wrote this is the apostle. Sent of Christ. Apostle means one who is sent, who is chosen of God to declare the truth of Christ, not to collect money from people. And if Paul is the apostle of Jesus, it means there are some apostles who are not of Jesus, even though they are in the church. Those who preach about themselves, those who fleece the sheep of their wool in the name of Christ. Any gospel that says you have to do something, that you have to do something today to be saved, is false. Any gospel preacher or message that says you have to do 1, 2, and 3, or 4, depending on the church, is false. That is not the gospel of Jesus. Paul was an apostle of Christ by the will of God. Which means what? He did not make himself an apostle. He did not appoint himself. He did not go to Nigeria to receive his blessing from T.B. Joshua. In Galatians 1, verse 1, Paul says, the book of Galatians, Paul says, Paul, an apostle, not sent from man, nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Who raised him from the dead. A true preacher of the gospel is not by man, but of God. And so is a true believer. You can't make yourself a true believer. You can't cause your own birth. Your mother had to give birth to you. So you can't make yourself a child of God. God has to give you a new birth. No one causes their own birth. Understand me? No one causes themselves to be a child of God. Churches have formulas that tell you how to become a child of God. There's nothing like that. There's nothing like that. It's all lies. Paul says in verse 11 of Galatians 1, "For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for neither I received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Christ Jesus." The gospel that is being taught in the churches is the gospel that is according to man. Paul says, going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 2, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Christ, their Lord and ours, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, the church of God. Corinth was a city in Greece. What does the church mean? The church means those who have been called out by God. They have been called out from darkness by God. They have been called out from spiritual darkness. They have been called out from lies about Christ. They have been called out from lies about salvation. Lies about God. So the church is a gathering of those who believe the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. The church is those who have been sanctified in Christ. To be sanctified means to be holy. It means to be chosen. It means to be separate. What God has done is, He has separated some people and gave them to Christ. Not everyone. He has sanctified. He has separated 1, 2, 3. He knows the number. And gave them to Christ that Christ may save them. That God may bless them through Christ. Those who were given to Christ are who are the church of God. Understand me? They are the ones who are known by God. If you are in Christ, you are holy. If you are in Christ, you are holy. You are not holy because you wear a long dress. You are not holy because you are well behaved. Not according to God. You should be well dressed. You are holy because you are in Christ who is holy. God alone is holy. We who are the church are in Christ who is holy. And so God sees us as holy. Understand that? Sanctified in Christ and saints by calling, you are made holy by God in Christ. So how does a sinner become a saint? Because sanctified is the same word for saints. Saints. The text says by calling. I need you to learn this because you're going to make a lot of enemies when you go back home and start to tell people the truth. And that's the goal. I want you to make as many enemies as you can by telling them the truth. You see, Jesus was God. And when Jesus showed up, guess what? People were not hugging him. They were throwing stones because he was telling them the truth. People don't love the truth. Tell them the truth. Let's learn about saints. The Bible says, saints by calling. Mother Teresa was not a saint because of the things that she did. That's not how you become a saint. You cannot become a saint by anything that you do. The Pope at Rome cannot make you a saint. The Pope and you are not different. Actually, you are better than the Pope. Because the Pope does not know Christ. Or you'd be surprised. People don't know that. The Pope has never preached a gospel message. The Pope, the Roman Catholic Pope, does not know the gospel. He's a politician. He is not a preacher of Christ. He cannot make anyone a saint. No man can make another man a saint. You're only a saint by God's calling. That's what Paul is saying. By election. Remember, Brother Tendai talked about election. All who believe the truth of Christ are saints. Even if they never give a penny to nobody, they are saints. Because their sainthood is not from them, it is from God in Christ. Paul says, with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. All who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus. Those who call on the name of the Lord Jesus are they that are called saints. But to call on the name of Jesus does not mean to just say the name of Jesus. To call on the name of Jesus means to believe in what God has said about Jesus. You can't just call the name of Jesus. Remember in Matthew 7, they came and said, Lord, did we not cast out demons in the name of Jesus? Were they not calling on the name of Jesus? But Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you. Paul says, verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 1, grace to you and peace from God, our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from who? From God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see that Mary is not there? Do you see that all the dead saints are not there? Grace and peace only come from God. See the formula of greeting. Pay attention. Okay? It says grace to you and then peace. What is that saying? Why is Paul saying grace and then peace? Because there's no peace where there's no grace. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Mary is not full of grace. I'm going to have to teach you that because I grew up Roman Catholic, so I know all their foolishness. And I know that Roman Catholics also, they have a lot of churches in Zimbabwe. But they're not the only ones who have problems as far as the gospel is concerned. But I want you to see the truth. Grace and then peace. There's no peace with God outside the grace of God. There's no peace with God outside the grace of God. There's no peace with God outside the grace of God. Which means there's nothing that you can do to make peace with God. Nothing, zero. If you should have peace with God, God is he who has to do. If there should be peace between you and God, God is he who has to make peace on his own terms. God has made peace with Christ Jesus. The blood of Christ Jesus is the only way to have peace with God. The blood of Christ is the only way to stop the war between you and God. And if you and God are to go to war, guess who is going to win? It's God all the time. Which means they're going to go to hell and you won't come out. So why are these Corinthians called saints? To what were they called to? Why is the grace and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ? Where did the peace come from? What had happened? Why do you need peace? What did you do? What is your crime? What are you guilty of? Because of you. Because of sin. You and I are sinners. That's all we know to do. We have never done any single good thing. Not before God. And because of our sin, we're in trouble.
big trouble.
You have to pay. Someone has to pay. You can't pay. You can't bring any form of money to pay to make peace with God. You can't do anything to make peace with God. God has to send you to hell. That's the gospel we are working. Because if you're going to go to church a week from next week, and the preacher is not teaching you more of this, they know nothing of Christ. Doesn't matter how big the church is, they do not know the truth. Paul says in Galatians 1 verse 4, this is where the peace came from. Christ Jesus, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forevermore. Amen. Christ died for our sins. He died to make payment for all our sins. It means he died in the place of the sinner and made payment for all your sins. I need you to pay attention to what is being said. The sins that you committed, the sins that you shall commit today, you're actually sinning even as you are sitting there. Someone needs to pay. If God were to put you in a room by yourself, from when you were born to the day that you die, you never talk to anyone. They have no TV, no cell phone, no neighbors, no nothing. Guess where you're going? You're going to hell. Because you're not a righteous person. Adam did not have neighbors. Adam did not have a TV or cell phone. And guess what? Sin and death and condemnation came by him. And you are in Adam. So no hope for you. God knows all your sins. God has paid for all your sins in Christ. So Jesus gave himself. Jesus gave himself that he might rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of the Father, according to the will of God the Father. Jesus died for our sins is the heart of the gospel. The Bible, the 66 books of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, that's what they teach. They don't teach anything else. The Bible only has one message. Jesus died for our sins. Right from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation, that's the message. If a preacher cannot preach Christ dying from any text of the book of the Bible, and think, well, I'm going to be doing Hannah's prayer. I'm going to be doing Esther's fast. I'm going to be doing Daniel's fast. It means they have no light of God in them. Brother Tendai had John 5:39 read. Jesus said, you diligently search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life, but it is they that testify of me. The scriptures testify of Jesus. The whole Bible is talking about Jesus. It's not talking about you. Okay? Jesus did not die to pay for the sins of everyone in the world. John 3:16 does not teach that Jesus saved everyone. Or that Jesus wants to save everyone. Jesus is not wanting to do something. Jesus has never wanted to do something and failed to do it. Jesus is God. God has never failed to do what he wants to do. When he was creating things, he said, let there be light, and there was light. There was no negotiation. When Jesus was healing people, he would tell the demon and say, come out. And the demon will come out. He would come and say, stretch your hand, and the hand would listen to Jesus. He never tried to save anyone. Jesus already saved all his people. The question is, do you bring the testimony of the true salvation? Are you one of his? That's the matter. So if Jesus died for all your sins, what does that mean? It means you have nothing to do for your salvation. If Jesus paid for all your sins, Maim Chuchu, and you have, I think, about 60 million sins and counting. Okay. See, Adam got in trouble for one thing. What about you? What hope do you have? The Bible declares to us that Jesus paid for all your sins. So if the payment is made, you owe how much? How much do you owe now that Jesus is paid? Zero. So if Jesus paid for everything, why is the man of God giving you 2, 3, 4, 5 steps to do to be saved? There are no steps of salvation. There are no steps of salvation because salvation was never about you. Salvation was always about Jesus. He did it and said, it's finished. It's done. It is finished. What is finished? He made the payment. All of it. And he knows every one of your sins more than you do yourself. Okay? 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4 to 9. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ. Grace was given them by God. No one invites grace. Grace is given. What was given them in Christ? That in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and knowledge, even the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you. They were given everything concerning Christ. They were not given new houses. Pay attention. They were not given new jobs. They were not given some cute wives and husbands. But we're given what? Ephesians 1, verse 3. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Did you hear that? What was given them? Paul says, every spiritual blessing in Christ is spiritual blessing. is not physical blessing, it's spiritual blessing. What was given them? It was given them their justification, which means God not accounting their sins to them. God does not account your sin to you because of Christ, and that's the blessing of God. In 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 5, 1 Peter says, 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 5, Peter says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain, verse 4, pay attention, an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Pay attention to that. Reserved where? Where is the blessing? Reserved in heaven. This is not heaven. Who are protected, verse 5, by the power of God through faith for his salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The blessing of God is in heaven, not here. We have to get that right. So when the so-called man of God comes and says, God wants to make you rich, are they really telling the truth? They're lying. And they know you're desperate. And so you come. And they feel their big church. But they're filling it with lies, not the truth of Christ. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 7, Paul says, so that you're not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The true believer is not lacking in any gift as far as God is concerned. The things that we call gifts are not gifts. A gift of God concerns your spiritual standing before God in Christ Jesus. Salvation is freely given you as a gift. The Holy Spirit is freely given you as a gift. For you to become a child of God is a gift from God. You did not earn it. You did not work for it. A car is not what God gives you when you come to Christ. A new housing stand is not what God gives you when you come to Christ. Understand me? I really want you to see the difference. Because people are lying to you. If you're going to get a new car, if you're going to get a new phone, you're going to have to save some money and buy one. That's not the work of Christ. Okay? Don't let anybody come and lie to you that if you give me this much money, then God will bless you. There's nothing like that. If God would bless you, he doesn't need you to tell him. God does not wait on anyone to tell him what to do. That is why he is God. God already blessed from before the foundation of the world. We are already blessed with every spiritual blessing. It may not appear as such. 1 Corinthians 1, 7. Paul says, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus. See that it is Jesus who confirms you. And he confirms you as blameless in the day of his appearance. Christ Jesus is he who confirms us as blameless in the day of his appearance. Roman Catholic, you do the confession and the confirmation. I don't know where they got that from. Paul, by the Holy Spirit, says, Christ Jesus is the one who shall confirm you as blameless. What does that mean? Christ Jesus alone has the right to say you are not guilty. That is what it means to be confirmed as blameless. Christ Jesus is saying he alone has the right and the power to say none of your sins can condemn you. Christ Jesus alone has the power to do that. So the gospel is saying Jesus was revealed to his people that in the appearance, in his appearance, he may declare them as blameless without any fault whatsoever. Like you never did anything wrong in your whole life. Zero. That's the gospel. Christ Jesus, like you never did anything wrong whatsoever. Zero. That's the gospel. That's why he came. That's why he died. So that on that day, Jesus says, I don't find any fault with him. Zero. That's good news. Now, that is unbelievable to me. That is very unbelievable to me, because knowing myself and knowing you all, you are sinners. But God says, blameless. In John 15, verse 3, Jesus said, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. You are already clean. Speaking to his disciples, then the 11. You are clean by the word that I've spoken. Now, one of them was Peter. This is in John 15. But Peter, who was clean, denied Jesus. Jesus said, Peter is clean. Jesus never changed what he said about Peter. Peter denied Jesus 3 times, and yet Peter was still clean. Peter went to heaven. Why? Because Jesus said, Peter is clean. That's all there is to it. If Jesus says you are clean, end of story. Nobody can bring a charge against you. Why? Because he died. Why? Because he paid. Jesus paid. If you go to the store and you pay for your groceries, you have the receipt. You are going out of that store with your stuff. Why? Because he paid. So Jesus paid, and Jesus is going to get what Jesus paid for. Jesus did not pay hoping that someone would decide. If you go at the okay store, you buy 2 loaves of bread, margarine, salt, sugar, rice, whatever. those things don't decide to put themselves in your paperback. You don't pay and hope that the rice will mysteriously get into your plastic bag. You have to go to the shelf and get the rice, go get the bread, go get the salt, go get the sugar, and put them in the bag. Why? Because you're paying. Christ Jesus paid, and guess what? He's getting everyone for whom he paid. Amen. So when I come here, I don't care how many people showed up. When you go to the store, you don't buy everything that is on the shelf. You pick the things that you want. God has picked the ones that he wants. So if two of you show up, I'm fine. If 20 show up, I'm fine. Because I don't do the picking. Jesus did. Why? Because he paid. Let's keep working, and we're going to have lunch. We're going to have food brought here. When we're done with this message, we'll take a break. Kind of get refreshed. And then we'll come and finish for today. I'm still testing to see how much strength the Lord will give me. Okay. But you understand? Jesus did not pay in the hope that you come and choose him. Jesus did not pay in the hopes that one day you get bored and say, let me go to the all-night prayer and talk to Jesus. No. Jesus paid that he may bring you to the Father. If you pay for something, you have to get it. Otherwise, you are going to court. Okay? 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful. I don't like this venue. It's too noisy. Okay? It's too noisy. It distracts you from listening. It's too much noise. But we only got this venue because Prince Edward was already booked for Saturday before us. But the other sessions, we're going to do them at Prince Edward. It's dead quiet, like it's dead quiet. So I'm looking forward to that. This is too noisy. But we had to get started. Okay? We'll never do another one in town again, ever. Okay? I don't like that. It's too noisy. It's okay if you're making noise like the guy downstairs, if you could hear him right now. He's just going, da 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 da. That's not praying, people. That's not praying. 1 Corinthians, verse 9. God is faithful. God is faithful. Not you, not me. God alone is faithful. God alone will do what he promised to do. God will never fail to do what he promised to do because he is God. He owns everything. God has all the power. God never sleeps. God never gets tired. So he is faithful to do everything that he promised to do for you in Christ Jesus. And what God has promised to do is to bring you to himself through the gospel. The gospel is saying, the gospel is the letter from God to say, you did not know that you belong to me. I chose you. I have loved you. And because I have loved you, I died for you. And because I died for you, I have sent my Holy Spirit to tell you that I love you and I died for you. That's the testimony of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not tell people that your husband or wife is cheating on you. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's just the man of God who doesn't have anything to tell you. If you get caught, it's because you came home smelling of the perfume of the other person. It was not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to tell you about things of heaven. Things that don't perish with the using. Things that don't get old. Things that don't die. The Holy Spirit is there to teach you, to show you things that you can't see by yourself. And to cause you to see them and say amen to that. Amen to Christ. God is faithful. If God is faithful, it means if you die today, it wasn't because it was an accident. There's never been an accident. Never. There's never been an accident. Because God is never sleeping. He is the one who causes all things for His glory. Your life is to His glory. Your death is to His glory. The believer never dies. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. John chapter 11. The flesh will die because it gets old. But the believer will never die. Why? Because God is faithful. Jesus says to Martha and Mary, the one who believes in me shall never die. Jesus knows what he's talking about, right? 1 Corinthians 1:9 again. We are almost, I'll need maybe 10 minutes and then we'll take a break, okay? Can you tell the difference? We are supposed to be talking about the same God. Now, if I did not know the gospel, could I hear that and go home knowing Jesus? If I had never heard of Jesus, could I listen to the guy who is praying there, whatever he's doing, and go home and say, thank you, Lord, for dying for my sins? The guy does not know God. He needs to come here and sit down and be quiet. Hear this. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son. See who called you. You and I did not call on God. It is He who called us into fellowship with Christ. So God is faithful to keep us in the fellowship that He called us to, which means salvation cannot be lost. You cannot lose your salvation. You can lose your money in the bank, which you have done in Zimbabwe for many times now. But God does not work like the banks in Zimbabwe. You cannot lose your salvation because He's faithful. So God did not promise to make Zimbabwe better. I need to help you with something. God never promised to make Zimbabwe a better country. Why? Because Jesus did not die for a country. Japan is full of unbelievers. The Japanese hate God. They hate God so much. It's very hard to find a church in Japan. And yet, they have a lot of money. They have one of the best economies in the world. Does God love them? No. No, He does not love the Japanese. He only loves His elect who are in Japan. I actually have a number of listeners of my messages in Japan who are Christians. Does God love America more than Zimbabwe? No. Yet America has more money than Zimbabwe. Does God love Britain more than Zimbabwe? No. God is not interested in any country. He is only interested in His church. Because every country is going to be destroyed in the end. And everyone who has prospered, who hates God is going to be condemned. Don't think this is the end of it. Christ is only one nation that he is interested in. It is his church that he died for on the cross. Understand me? So when people pray and say a lot of things to God, like God has forgotten that he has people in Zimbabwe, God is not interested in you eating bread every day. He's not. That does not worry him at all. He is not. God is not interested in that. God is interested that you know Jesus. Because in Jesus is where God has put all blessing. There's no blessing for you in Zimbabwe. All blessing is in Christ. Know Christ. Love Christ. Live Christ. That's where the life and the blessing is. Things may get better. Things may get worse. No one knows. Only God knows. The point that I'm making is this. Don't go to church to hear political messages. There's no salvation for you in the politics. Salvation is in the one who was crucified. Don't be used. That's what I'm saying. Don't have this man of God who's going to come and tell you about the politics of the country and that this guy and that guy, all those people are in the hands of God. God is going to deal with them. And there's no one who knows to deal with them better than God himself. You understand me? So don't go to church to hear politics. You go to church to hear about Jesus. That's the point. Let me see how we can end this. Actually, I want to park there. But it's midway where I would want to stop. Let me make some more comments. I haven't gotten to where I actually wanted to go. Like I said, there's just way too many things to tell you. So that really slows me down. But that's where God wants me to be. That's what God wants me to tell you. Eternity is a very long time. Eternity is 20 million years from now. And another 20 million. And another 100 million. And another 200 million. And another 500 million. And after those millions of years, you haven't started. You start again. And you start again. And it never stops. And you start again. And again. And you never stop. So the message that God has given in Christ addresses the matter of eternity, not the matter of this life that is perishing. You and I, everyone who is in here, 100 years from now, will all be gone. Gone, gone, gone. We won't be here. So where are you going? That's the question. Where are you going? Your church can't help you. Your parents can't help you. Your pastor can't help you. You can't help yourself. Only Christ can help you. And that's the message that we, by the grace of God, are teaching. And there's so much to learn that we could preach Christ every day from morning to evening and still not even touch the surface of the understanding of Jesus. So we'll stop here for now. Sister Ruthie will help us with some understanding of where things are as far as food is concerned. So eat as much as you can eat. And this is probably one of the few conferences, if not the first, that you actually go and eat and not pay. That's what we do all the time. Because it is God's business. Okay? It's God's business. If you have been taught well over time, I expect that you come and support this conference yourself. But I have to show you the way so that you know that I'm not doing this to make money from anybody. This is not, we don't, even in my church, we don't even have a collection. We don't do collection. You come and give whatever you have and whenever you want. If you want to go the whole year, that's fine. If you want to, whatever you want to give, as God has given you, as God has moved you, you give. But we never ask for money. We only teach. Because Christ is faithful to his business. Okay? So we'll stop there for now and we can talk. We can chit-chat and say hi to some people that I've not greeted yet. It's one of the problems that the churches have where they worship the man of God. That's not right. I am not different from you. The man of God should not be worshipped. As I see people kneeling for him, that is idolatry. The man of God is a servant of everyone. He should be kneeling before the people. Do you understand me? Why are you worshiping the man of God? Why are you making an appointment with the man of God? And why are you paying to see the man of God? Lord have mercy. All right. We are done.